Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
No, don't you show that to me. And they don't even know what you're showing.
No, they don't. They don't.
Oh, come on. I'll pay you $5 to not do it.
Just a little bit. Just a little
bit. Oh. Right, that's going to grow our listenership because you're showing that you can't play harmonica, and what will that do for us?
That was not very good.
Even you knew that.
You're not supposed to hear me huffing and puffing, right?
No, but you know, why don't you work out?
Yeah, that's bad. If I don't have enough air to play the harmonica, that's pretty bad.
You know, you just blew that thing up that you use after surgery where you're supposed to blow it up to the top.
That's right.
You didn't move it.
I do think that, you know, the harmonica is an instrument that almost anybody can play.
Apparently it's not.
Well, but I mean, I know there's, like, Stevie Wonder is a great harmonica player.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anybody can play it. John Lennon played, you know.
Yes, there's very good playing. Isn't that a little tune?
It's a very little tune. You know, when I was 5, I liked to play on a toy xylophone. That didn't mean that I was going to grow up to be Pinky Lee.
I'm not Pinky Lee. All right. Here we are. 2 minutes in, we're old timey.
Lionel Hampton.
Hi there, boy. Yeah, I like Lionel Hampton.
Yeah.
Hi there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. It's the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein. I'm Tony.
I'm Gary.
And he's Rob Ford Jr.
Yes, we still do it.
He's not really a junior, but he's Rob Ford.
You know what? You know it's been a busy week for Rob Ford because since last week he got married and divorced. No, he did. Well, because he had it annulled.
She keeps the house and the dog, but I get to keep all the CDs. So right.
All right. No, that's fair.
See what
that
happens
worked.
Even after just 1 week?
Yeah.
That would be a quick relationship.
She got to keep the house, the dogs, and he got to keep the good lines.
One of my favorite lines in a song, it's Bruce Springsteen, Hungry Heart.
Yeah.
Because it's really brilliant. It captures the rise and fall of a relationship in just a couple of lines. Now, let me see if I can remember. Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. I went out for a ride and I never went back. Just like a river that don't know where it's flowing. I took a wrong turn and I just kept going. Everybody's got a... What's the other line?
Where the hell are we going?
Wait.
Everybody's got a hungry heart.
Here it is. I met her in a Jamestown bar. We fell in love. I knew it had to end. We took what we had and we drifted apart. Here I am back in Jamestown again. That's the whole relationship there.
That's something. And also, it really gave you a chance to sing, which is all you're looking for. You didn't give a crap about telling the story.
No.
I wonder if I could play guitar today.
No, I'm letting out all my musical inhibitions.
And showing off your talent.
Or lack of talent. I'm sorry. Please, people, keep listening. I'll play no more music.
You know, let me just say one thing, because we love our listeners.
Just one thing, and that's
That's not possible. Just one thing for now. I just want you all to know that truly, truly, in all ways, he means well.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to like to hear that later.
Maybe not.
Welcome to the show. It is the end of February, and good riddance. I know particularly for our listeners in the Northeast.
Oh, in Boston,
and
Maine.
Where you live. Yeah.
Well,
it's not as bad where you live.
No, but Jersey's not so great, but we're not suffering what Boston and...
Oh, you mean with the weather.
Wow. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, really? Okay. Now I know you can joke.
But the weather's been horrible. Blizzard after blizzard in the Northeast. So,
yes.
You know, we're not done with winter yet, but at least February's.
Boston had another giant storm last week.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how they're doing it, but that reminds me of our winter last year in Jersey where we never saw the ground. Never saw green, never saw the brown lawn for the entire...
The brown lawn.
I like to see the brown lawn just to know it's there. It's going to get green again. We didn't see it all winter last year. But Boston is really bad.
Oh, terrible. 70, 80 inches? It's crazy.
I really hope it doesn't affect the Red Sox.
Said a Yankee fan.
Yeah, right. Doesn't set them back any.
So we welcome you to the show. And as always, we thank you for listening and all your wonderful comments and all that kind of thing. We do remind you that we also exist on social media. And there's always a lot of extra content there. Gary, myself, we're both active on it. Rob Ford is active on it, always posting extra contact. You can like us on Facebook at The Tony Perkins Show. You can follow us on Twitter at T Perk Show.
Right. You can follow Tony at home.
Yeah, please don't do that. Yeah,
don't or do just that. Follow him home.
Right. No. Let's not encourage.
You know, if you follow him home, there are like three or four stops on the way that he can't talk about. It's not good.
Eventually I get there. That's what's important.
That's right, exactly. We don't know about condition.
I want to do a quick shout out, if you don't mind, to one of our listeners.
How quick?
It's going to be quick. Okay. And this is coming way late. She sent both of us. Oh, yeah. She messaged us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Not a post, a direct message to us. And we both responded, and she was thrilled with that. This was back in January, so we're very late doing this. Kelly O'Rourke Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember
Absolutely.
Her? She listens all the time, and she said she would be thrilled if we mentioned her on the show. So we are mentioning you, Kelly. She originally wrote after our nepotism episode, and she really, she got it. I'll just read real quick some of what she wrote. Hi, guys. Happy New Year. I always love, love, love your show. Thank you. I got a couple of episodes behind during the holidays, so I just finished the nepotism show. What an extra treat. I just wanted to tell you what a joy it was to learn more about your families. What a super talented bunch you are. I was so impressed with Connor. Wow. And Gary's family. My goodness. And I loved hearing from your mothers. What a couple of hip ladies. You are both so blessed. Thank you for sharing your blessings with the world.
Did you write that?
I did not, but I could have written
it. No, I read it and I thought, wow, could we make a billboard and share it and just keep growing that listenership?
Right, that's absolutely right. So Kelly O'Rourke Smith, thank you very much.
Thank
for
you
that.
So
really
much. And to all of you who write really wonderful things, keep it up.
Yep,
we appreciate it very much.
Want to let you know we have a guest who's going to be joining us a little bit later. A friend of mine, I've known this
Chris
woman.
Rock?
No, not Chris Rock.
What?
Why Chris Rock?
Oh, I don't know.
No reason.
Do you know the first interview that I ever did at Good Morning America, this was before you were with me.
Really?
Was with Chris Rock. I forget what he was doing. I think he was about to host some big event, and they sent me to Lincoln Center. I had to meet him there and interview him. And
I remember you telling me about it because I joined you like 3 months later, 2 months after you got there.
Yeah, I got there in March 99. You came in September, I think.
Oh, I did.
And let me tell you, I mean, thank God for you. Seriously, because thank God for them, because they realized, you know what, this would probably be better if he had a dedicated producer, that they're always working on stuff together, because I would get different producers.
And little did we know that we had the same DNA.
Right. That's
seriously.
Right, that's right.
Little
that's
did
right.
we know.
So they sent me across the street to do an interview with Chris Rock. It was terrible. It was my first thing, maybe my second thing for Jimmy. I was really nervous. I remember it wasn't live, thank goodness. It was a pre-tape thing.
Right.
And Chris, you know, I really admired Chris and all of that. And it was not a good experience. No, no one's fault, just my fault. I was nervous.
You better write this down. It's one of the very few nice things I'll ever say to you.
Okay.
I never saw you do a bad interview.
Thank you very much. That's
I didn't.
Very nice. This one wasn't
And how
good.
Many did we do?
Oh, so
I
many.
I never saw you do a bad one, even when we had some stumbling blocks like with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, which we've told, you know, but we did good interviews.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. So today we have a guest with us, Angela Stribling, who, if you're from Washington, you've known her forever. She's been on radio, TV. Actually, she was on BET, was a host on BET for many years, and she has a radio show now called Pillow Talk with Angela Stribling. It airs locally in Washington on WHUR Friday nights at midnight, and then it airs nationally on XM, Sirius XM radio.
So, is she related to Captain Steubing from Love Boat?
You know, I think she gets that question a lot. She actually is not.
Okay. We can find out later, though. It's really the only thing I want to know from the segment.
That's your only question?
Yeah.
So today we will have a bad interview.
No, well, I'll let you run it. It'll be good.
After all this time. Anyway, she's going to join us. We're talking a relationship. You know, All right, we're a little late. Valentine's Day was 2 weeks ago, and, you know, Fifty Shades of Grey is out now, so there's a lot of talk about relationships, sex, love, so we thought we'd have an expert in.
There's always a lot of talk about sex.
Well, yeah, that's true.
More talk than action.
Yeah. Well, she may be able to address that.
Okay, all right.
Why is there always more talk and not enough action?
I don't want her to address it. I want her to help it.
That is quite the tease.
Yeah. And that's also a problem.
Yeah, write these down. Yeah. These are all questions.
Yeah, I got a problem with that.
So she'll join us in just a little bit. Now, you've had something on the list here for a few weeks
that
we never get to.
Keeps dropping off.
I don't know what it is. It simply says show tunes.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
What's the next segment?
No, come on. Let's do it. I want to know what it is.
All right. Well, I'm a little bit hypochondriacal.
Yes.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. A little bit. I think I have a pain right near my chest right now, but we've been there. We've been there before. There's no problem.
He's fine.
So I'll do anything to stave off an illness.
Sure.
Something down the road or now.
Yes.
So there was an article in the Daily News that said singing or playing show tunes helps to fight off dementia or Alzheimer's.
What?
Yes, absolutely. So now listen, I don't care if it's true or not. Rob, hit it. Keep this going, Rob. You know what? I got to tell you something. I'm feeling better already.
I'm glad you are.
I know. I'm starting to remember more. A little bit louder, Rob. A little louder.
With the sound of music, my heart wants to sing every song it hears.
Sing it, Julie. Sing it.
My heart wants to beat like the wings of the
All right,
birds
that's enough for her. All right, so listen.
Wait. Keep it going. Keep it
All
going.
All right, go ahead.
Keep it going.
No.
Bring it up. Bring it
no.
up.
Sigh like a chime that flies from a church on me.
I feel my dementia coming back.
Like a bird when it trips and falls.
All right, take it down, please. Take it down. So it says that for older people, singing songs from shows, musicals, movies that they remembered even as little kids, like playing The Wizard of Oz or playing something that they remember, helps stimulate the memory. So I just thought that was interesting, and I want to every single day sing a show tune. And because you know how
Does it have to be show tunes?
Apparently it does. So if you just sing a pop song,
it doesn't work.
I think you still won't know who you are. But I think if you put on a little Sound of Music or Oklahoma or... Now, listen, you know, you always say I'm really old-timey.
Yes.
This is about as new-timey as I can get.
Okay.
You could also play maybe this song from The Producers. This is specifically good for Jews with Alzheimer's. This song is very helpful.
We're marching to a faster
So great.
I can see old people goose-stepping in an old age home right now, trying to get their memories back. Okay.
You know what I think this is about?
What?
I think because it actually does make sense.
It does. It does.
I suspect it would work almost with any type of music, depending on what your generation is. They're probably saying, look, as you're getting older, you know, they're addressing an older crowd right now in this piece.
Yes.
And they're saying, so think back to some of the show tunes that you may have heard in your younger days and all that kind of stuff. And you're really, it's like a memory workout.
Well,
really.
Look, here's the last thing to go. What we know about Alzheimer's is that the last thing to go is your memory about things from a very long time ago.
That's right.
So if you're going to appeal to anything, you're going to probably try to hold on to your memory from back then and hope that it advances a little bit to the future.
Right.
I don't really think in this study that they know that it's going to advance,
but
I think what they're hoping is that there's no more slippage, slippage. And the fact, I mean, when I read it, of course, I laughed because it was show tunes. And I, you know, I pictured Julie Andrews on the hill saving my life, you know, just grab my arm.
Right.
Let me be in the Alps with you, you know. And so I think it's very interesting, you know.
I do too.
The most improvement was among those sufferers with moderate to severe dementia. Among the songs during a 50-minute session were hits from Wizard of Oz, Oklahoma, Sound of Music, and other very recognizable shows from their period, from their period, from their time. And I get it. It makes sense.
It makes sense to me, too.
And
because here's the other thing. It is easier. For example, if a doctor, if you're in a study and a doctor said to you, okay, I want you to remember something from 60 years ago, that's hard to do.
Right.
But if you say, do you remember this song that was a hit 60 years ago?
Right, and you play it.
And you play it.
Yeah.
You can, we hold on to that stuff. We hold on. I know the lyrics to songs. I mean, it's kind of weird sometimes how well I'll know songs that were hits when I was a teenager, for example. And I can remember I know the lyrics to David Bowie's Young Americans, which is it's not a linear song, really. There is a story being told in the song, I believe. But to some people, it's nonsensical lyrics and all that kind of stuff. But for some reason, I remember those lyrics very well. And I think it's partly because it's from my youth. And when I hear the song, I can recall that. And I'm sure that's like flexing. You know, when you exercise, you're flexing your physical muscles. That's flexing your brain muscle.
You know what it's reminding me of? You know, last week we did the movie trivia test. Okay,
yes.
So I've told you many times that I was a very poor student.
I didn't have
a great memory for the things that didn't interest me. I was very ADD at a time where they didn't know what that was, right?
Mm-hmm, so, that's right.
But I knew that there were some things that I learned because I loved them, and they just... My oldest son, Ben, is very much like this. Ben is an encyclopedic guy about every guitar ever made and what rock star plays every guitar. He was like that with bikes when he was a bike racer.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this stuff used to say to me, because I remember shows, I remember movies,
right.
I remember things I love, and it said, oh, you're not stupid. You just don't learn the way other people learn.
Right.
So I think there's the memory issue. Everything around memory is fascinating.
Fascinating. Well, here's what's interesting, because you have frequently told me how you admire my memory, because I remember a lot of specific things that happened to us, and I tend to remember lines. If there's a funny line, I will remember that forever. We may have been having dinner, you know, in 2003, and he said something funny, and I'll remember it. And he doesn't remember it until I remind him.
I almost never remember the funny things that I say.
Right.
And you remind me, and we wind up laughing all over.
Right.
You'll say, you remember when we were in that restaurant? And I'll say, no, but please tell that again, because I remember I liked it before.
Right, exactly.
But it's a line I said.
But now, we did last week with the movie thing, and I love movies. I'm not as smart about movies as you are.
It's just memory.
It's just memory. I guess it's just memory.
It's not intelligence.
I thought that was going to be more difficult for you, because I think that's hard to... What we did last week was I read him the plots of movies, and then he had to tell me what movie it was.
I thought that would be harder. I thought, if you're not going to give me names or dates or movies, studios.
You were getting it. I think I would be terrible at that.
Yeah, but if we decided to do the Beatles trivia contest, there wouldn't be a question you could miss.
Right, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
Then there are certain things I hold on to, like if you gave me a Casablanca test, I bet there's almost nothing I wouldn't remember from that movie. Who knows why this works,
it's
you know?
Very interesting.
I don't remember what I did 10 minutes ago. I really don't. I mean, I lose papers all the time. That's part of having been an eight. You know that, right?
Gary has been very funny this whole today. We prepare. You think we don't prepare for the show, but
we don't prepare much.
Well, we don't. I mean, no, but we have a couple of notes. You've got the article from the New York Daily News
about show tunes.
We've got some papers and stuff like that. Gary, all morning has been, I got too many papers. I got to weed the papers out.
And then I say, what did I do with the rundown?
Right. Then he can't.
And this is the way I am. And yet, on the other hand, we can do a talk show where we talk for an hour and a half, and this is fine for me.
Yeah.
Memory is a really interesting thing.
It really is.
Now, we did prepare one more thing, and that is, let's just say that you listen over and over and over again to show tunes, and it doesn't seem to be making any kind of an impression.
Yes, it's not really helping you.
Not really helping.
Gotcha.
There is a show tune you might want to play on a regular basis if you don't really think that this is working for you.
Memory. Turn your face to the moon.
It's perfect.
It's a little sad.
Oh, cats.
Oh, dear.
Does that still hold the record for... longest running Broadway show?
I don't think so.
Did something pass it?
I think so. I'm not sure what something I don't care about.
Did you see it?
I did see Cats. We had a friend of the cast.
Yeah? What'd you think?
I had absolutely no interest in that at all.
Yeah. I never saw it. I wasn't interested.
I thought it was a Well, this is at a time where I found that maybe a show had one or two hummable songs like this one.
Yeah.
So I was out of it. I suspect that someday, wearing Depends, I will be listening to Memories from Cats. Because here's what happens in my family. If I take after my mother's side, I'm going to live to be 105,
right,
and I will remember everything, know everything, and still be bothering everyone.
Right.
If I take after my father's side of the family, I'm going to die with a beautiful full head of hair, be the best-looking corpse in the cemetery,
right,
but I will have no idea who I was, who I am, and who I am now in the cemetery. Of course, I'm dead,
right,
but on the way to dead, I won't know that I'm on my way,
right,
because we have that.
Hopefully
on that
you'll
side.
Fall somewhere in the middle.
I hope I don't fall at all, but it's possible. It's possible. We've probably exhausted this topic. Unless, I think that there's always room for some Julie Andrews.
I don't mind Julie.
Okay, here we go.
Julie
a little more.
I remember the words to this.
You know why? Because you just heard it.
Well, not just because I just heard it, but because I saw it when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, over and over. Never liked it.
With the sound of music.
How many black people were in this movie?
None. That's why I was not. This was one of those things that was shoved down our throats.
Yeah.
And even as a kid, I'm like, I don't care about this. I'm not living in the Alps. Who are all these white people?
Well, wait a minute. That's not fair, because Christopher Plummer and Julie Andrews were the stars of Five on the Black Hand Side. Weren't they?
That is not true.
I think they were.
Why do you always remember Five on the Black Hand Side?
Because
that's your go-to movie.
You know why? Because 900 years ago, my college roommate Don Wilson, who was whatever the word was for it at the time,
that would have been. I guess he was black.
He was black.
Yes.
Yeah, he wasn't colored.
No,
he
no,
was black.
No.
And he was. He
now
was,
he's African American.
Yeah.
He was black. Then he was Afro American.
Right.
Now he's African American.
Well, no. You know what? I think we've gone full circle, because aren't you people of color now?
Well, that's not just.
You started
you
out.
People. You people.
No, you
yeah.
people.
Yeah. Are you people?
No, all of you. You type. You type.
You
No, listen. And no, didn't you start out colored and you're ending colored?
No. We started out much worse than colored.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
got to colored.
Yeah, thank God.
That was okay.
Yeah, that was better.
And then.
But aren't you back to colored now?
No. Colored is not good.
No, I don't mean colored specifically. I mean people of color.
People of color refers to minorities in general.
What am I, see-through?
No.
Yeah, because I don't get that.
It doesn't include you, because.
Right. I'm not a person of color.
Well, theoretically, you have no color.
I have no color. That's
you
stupid.
Have color.
Yeah.
Right, but,
yeah.
But
I'm black.
People of color, well, pretty much. people of color is everybody, you know, the Rainbow Coalition.
Yeah, but not the white people.
No.
People of color is not us.
No.
So you went from colored to people of color. The word is still in there.
Right, but it's more a generic term. You wouldn't say to a black guy on the street, hey, person of color.
well, you would also not yell out, hi, Negro. Right? Hi, Negro. How are you?
And hey, then, I'm with you, man.
And then you're running. Then the white guy is just running.
Hi, Negro.
Hey, I know you. Aren't you colored?
I actually, a friend of mine heard someone recently use the term colored, and they were like, what? Well, this was a controversy of Benedict Cumberbatch, right?
I remember he used it
a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't really pay attention to it. I don't remember exactly what the particulars were, but yeah, he had some trouble with that.
Do you remember in Pulp Fiction, Samuel Jackson says to somebody, yo, Negro?
Yeah.
Rob Ford, why don't you try that one day? Go downtown DC. Go to U Street or something.
It's all very complicated, yeah. Isn't it?
Just go, hey, Negro, how are you? And let's see if you get out.
I'll get made into a big Kahuna burger.
That's right.
But you know the semantics.
That's our next test for Rob. We've done Date Lab. Now let's check racial politics.
Exactly. You know, semantics, not anti-semantics,
right.
But semantics
are
really funny.
I'm against words.
Yeah, exactly. I'm against Jewish words.
Right.
I'm anti-Semitic.
Right. I'm an anti-Semitic, anti-Semitic.
That's right.
I'm against Jewish
Where
words.
Are we? Where are we?
I don't know.
Okay.
Now.
Right. That was the end of my show tunes.
This may be an awkward transition, as our guest today is Negro.
Wait, she's colored?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Get the colored guest in here, please.
No, stop that. We're going to open the door. She's going to be gone. She's wondering, what has she gotten herself into here?
Like, come on in here and join Whitey.
shall we bring her in?
The Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein.
Angela, come on in.
She looks scared.
No.
No, she looks frightened. She really does.
I don't see any color.
Look. You know,
so you could hear what was going on.
This is very exciting because right now we have two people of color and two white people.
Well, you know, that's how the world should be. Angela, bring the mic down in front of you, please. Our guest today is Angela Stribling. She is the host of Pillow Talk with Angela Stribling, which is very convenient since your name's in the show that they found someone named Angela Stribling to do the show. It airs Friday nights at midnight on WHUR 96.3 here in Washington, D.C. And then it repeats the following week.
The following week, that's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on SiriusXM.
I don't care what you talk about. You have the most gorgeous voice in the world. Just speak sweet nothings to us, and we're good.
Okay, then.
All right.
She's a longtime radio personality.
I don't care.
Love you, Gary.
She's a lot more attractive than Joe Palka, even if she doesn't give me a jacket. And that's an old reference to an old show. There were people here who gave me gifts, and if you do give me one, I will accept.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Darn it.
We're very happy you're here. Thank you for it's nice to see you.
It's great to see you, too. And you guys have so much fun.
We really do.
Hopefully, people who are listening might have as much fun as we do, but we're not sure.
Okay. And well, you know what? I was listening, and you guys
listening
are
in
hilarious.
The whole
way? Oh, thank you very much.
My ear to the door.
Oh, thank you.
The show
thank
is not, it's not a racist show.
No, it's not. About that. It's not racist because we almost never have colored people on.
Oh, no!
And they never come back.
What did I say?
Oh, my God.
I like the idea of you wouldn't say, hey, colored guy. What?
Yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah.
Hey, black guy, that's not good either.
No. Hey. None of it's good. None of it's good.
Just but it sure is fun.
Call somebody by name.
We have to teach Gary so much. Anyway, Angela, we haven't seen each other. We don't get to see each other much, but Angela was on Fox News at 10 a couple of weeks ago when it was the run-up to 50 Shades of Grey, which has exploded.
Oh my gosh, this movie's so much fun.
It's huge. And but Angela was on the show addressing relationship issues, sex issues, and love issues.
And you're enjoying something over there. I don't know what.
Well, you're
having trouble keeping a straight
because
face.
Because I'm thinking about Fifty Shades of Grey.
Exactly.
Are you using
imagery right now?
Well, you have to be careful when you're talking about it. It seems like anything you say has a sexual connotation. And I said it was huge, and that made me giggle a little bit.
You and I traveled together for 12 years, and everything you said did have a sexual connotation.
I'm immature. Here's the first thing you need to know, Angela. We're pretty immature.
We're children. Okay. Yeah. We're children.
I love that. Don't change.
Right.
That works.
Tell us about your show. That's what it's all about, right? Love, sex, relationships.
That's what it's all about. It's a 2-hour show. We've got the sexiest music you ever want to hear. So we have our own playlist. So people love the music. But it's a great opportunity for people to call in, talk about relationships, dating, if you're married, single, whatever your situation is. Talk about sex. I have different experts on, sexperts on.
Yeah, we're going to play some romantic music under you right now.
Oh, good.
See
I
if this sets the tone.
Music. Uh-oh. Good build-up. Gary's eyes are getting big. Oh, God.
So you wouldn't be playing this on your show?
Well, neither would I. I never called it romantic music.
You will never hear that on Pillow Talk with Angela.
What's wrong with a white woman twirling on the Alps?
If she was twerking, it would be different.
Yeah, oh, my God. Don't put that image in our head.
Julie never knew how to twerk.
I know. So that's why it's not really a good fit.
Yeah. So it's more like you have like Teddy Pendergrass, Love Unlimited Orchestra.
Can I just say one thing?
I don't know.
I'm a little afraid. A little
twerking on the Alps.
Twerking
like
on the
Alps.
Oh, there you go.
You
we
like
always
that,
have
right?
to find a title for the show. Twerking on the Alps.
Oh, I like it.
Twerking on the Alps.
Twerking
I
on
like
the
that.
Alps. I've yeah. been in the Alps.
And it's have you really?
Were you twerking?
Twerking though. I should have twerked.
I twerked last night and it tweaked my back.
We need that drum roll again.
On the Alps. Thank you.
It's always there. Rob Ford.
I know, Rob.
Gotta love him.
But so the show, we talk about sex a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it's sometimes it's funny, but it's usually educational.
Sure.
People
yeah.
have an opportunity to talk about whatever is going on in their sex lives, and we address it.
Now, because you're on late at night, after midnight, does that give you more freedom? Because, you know, there are a lot of things you can't talk about on commercial radio.
Exactly. And this is commercial terrestrial radio.
Right.
We talk about everything. And yes, it's at midnight. And I think people are a little more open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a lot less reluctant. I don't know. It's because of whatever they're doing when they call me. I don't know. Oh, you
oh,
two
really?
Are giggling over
no,
there.
No, no, no. He's giggling. I'm
open.
Not giggling. He's giggling.
I've got to watch
fault.
You two.
It's not my fault.
But yes, people are a lot more inclined
yeah.
to talk about their sexuality.
Angela, stop talking. I love you.
Yes, he loves your
I love
voice.
You.
He loves
you. I love
voice.
You. I'm not
and
even looking in your direction.
Well, no, I mean,
I love you.
She's
that.
Also beautiful.
She's beautiful.
Aww,
yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, guys. I yeah. love yeah. you.
Oh, thank you. Thank
See, I love you.
You
back.
You know, I got to tell you, I was married.
What?
He is married.
I know. I'm looking at that yeah. big, gorgeous yeah. gold ring on your finger.
Oh, yeah. thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk a little pillow talk.
All right. All right. Listen, you know what? We solicited questions.
Oh, good.
From our now, Uh-oh. We solicited questions from our listeners.
Okay.
Now, if you think Gary and I are immature,
yeah.
can I just say to our listeners, thanks a lot. I mean, you didn't. Most of you didn't really help much. They're sending. Let me. Where's a question?
We're going to read some. We're going to try to take them seriously, though.
Yeah, some of these questions. I'm just going to read one that we're not going to use here. In fact, this was the first question sent in. I said we're going to have Angela Stribling on. We want to talk love, sex, relationships. Please send in your questions. Here's the first one to come in from Alan. Ask her who she's picking for her Final Four in March Madness.
You've got to be kidding.
No.
Thanks a lot.
But I think in a way that says a lot about Alan's sex life, that we asked him for a sex question,
and that's what he
and he comes
up with
sports.
Yeah.
You know?
He lives it.
It's maybe very, very male.
All right,
you
want to go to one of the first questions?
I do. I would like to go to this question.
And I would say, we'll use people's first names, maybe.
Could you not tell me what to do?
I'm not telling you what to do.
You know, really, this is not, you know what? It's not working for me.
We need relationship help, actually.
Okay, so, yes. so here's what Mac had to say.
Uh-oh, Mac.
Mac says, just based on these descriptions, what do you think would be more adventurous in bed? A billionaire stand-up comic turned weatherman turned evening newscaster, or a semi-tortured failed actor who, while he succeeded as a producer and is able to get great guests, still has a chip on his shoulder for only getting a featured billing on a podcast?
Oh, gosh. That is hilarious.
Wow.
Well, you know, you two are plenty sexy in my eyes.
Thanks. Good answer.
There you go.
Give her a ding.
Yeah,
give her
what
a
else
ding.
You got there?
Yeah.
When
Bring
she
it
said
on.
It, when she said it, she was looking at me.
Yeah, well.
All right, yeah, here's a real. You want to read a real one?
Yes.
Let's read a real
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. This is from someone named Gail. My husband and I have been married for many years. I love him dearly, and there's been no other since him. On occasion, though rare, I have had a hot, erotic dream, generally with a stranger. And then I feel guilty. Hmm. Can I take a free pass that these dreams should be guilt-free?
Oh, yeah.
You know who I am, she says. Now, I have an opinion. I'd like to hear yours. I might offer one, too.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
Please.
I would say, Gail, go for it. There's nothing wrong with having fantasies. He's probably doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it enhances your love life. I think it's very healthy that you do that. No guilt whatsoever. In fact, have more. Just think of all kinds of things. And maybe that'll enhance your love life. Go for it, Gail.
Can I offer mine?
Yeah.
Gail, I think you're in trouble. Let me just suggest that I'm getting the idea that the dream sex is probably the extent of the sex life. And what I would like to recommend, what I would like to recommend for Harmony is that you try to convince your companion to try to have similar dreams. Tony, you have anything to add?
Yes, and I like to be direct. Gail, you're a slut. You got a man laying next to you. You're dreaming about other people, probably. Who's hot? Who's, you know, the star?
You don't even know.
I don't even know who the hot people are.
Angelina Jolie.
The Rock is hot.
Okay, The Rock is
Idris
hot.
Oh, I mentioned
Elba,
a woman.
Who
George
did you say?
Clooney.
I said Angelina Jolie.
Oh, that's for Gail. Well, did Gail specify? Wait a minute.
No, she didn't.
Gail straight.
Yeah, no, she said him. Married
yeah.
to
oh,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but she has a husband. We don't know if she's straight.
Yeah, so you're lying next to a guy. You're dreaming about other guys. It's slutty behavior, and I would have my
I don't
checked.
Condone it. I don't condone it.
Well, some women fantasize about other women, even though they're straight.
Oh, well, we'll have to find out from Gail.
Is that common?
It's very common.
Even if they're straight.
Doesn't make them gay.
No, but I don't think, like, I'm straight, and I've never...
Yeah, sure.
I am straight. I've never fantasized about another man.
I think...
Is it different for men?
I think it's different for women and men.
You know, you're not straight just because you didn't enjoy it.
That's funny. But you know what, Gail? I love it. Have at it. Whatever your fantasies are.
And we're kidding, Gail.
We are. You know what, Gail? I think you're a lesbian.
Because there's no, and let's talk about this for 1 second. A fantasy is just that. You're not acting on it.
No.
Right?
No.
And it doesn't even necessarily indicate that you're going to act on it.
Exactly. Now, if you're making plans, if Gail is making plans to get together with her girlfriends,
right.
with or without her husband, I don't know, maybe she could be gay.
That could be a problem. Now, I know that for myself, when I'm hoping to have a really great sex fantasy dream, I dress up.
to help get you in the mood.
To get myself in the mood, I put on something that's kind of velvety, like a velvet jacket. It's not really contemporary, but neither am I.
He's very old school sexy.
And, I wear...
You're wearing a smoking jacket and...
Can I talk?
I'm sorry.
I can't get a word in edgewise. So I like to wear a velvet jacket and Speedos.
Oh,
and that's the whole outfit. I go to sleep. And generally, I have a nightmare.
Yeah, you're giving me one, too, now.
That's actually what Tony wears when he does the news.
Yes, I've unfortunately looked under the desk and gone, whoa!
When I'm at the desk,
Do you want to read one, Tony?
Yeah, yes. What you got there?
This is from Stephanie. She writes, I'm in my 30s, and I want to get married in the not-too-distant future. What do you think is a reasonable amount of time for a couple in their 30s to date and or live together before getting married? She says, you can use my name because I would feel honored to have it mentioned on your show. Stephanie Loftus, I believe is her last name. All right, so.
And she's a regular listener.
She's a regular listener.
We love Stephanie, but I won't be nice in a minute.
Well, you know what?
Yes.
I think that was very smart and a little crafty of Stephanie because she wanted her full name out there because she wants the fiancé to hear this. Honey, we've been together all this time. Are we getting married or not?
That's good.
I think it depends on the couple. Some people are together for 6 months, a year, and they say when you know,
mm-hmm.
and go for it. But if you're together 4 or 5 years, and no one has popped the question,
mm-hmm.
then maybe you're not going to get married.
For 4 or 5 years, yeah. Yeah, I would say that because it sounds like one person's dragging their feet, I think.
Maybe 2 years seems to be the average.
Yeah.
I think that is great advice. Can I just offer something on my own?
Uh-oh.
Stephanie, here's the thing. You know what? You're in your 30s. You really don't have much time left.
No, he did not say that.
No, listen, let me tell you something. It's practically over. And if you're not going to get married soon, you better play this right now. Get this on the air now, or you're in trouble.
I live a life with the sound of music.
She's twerking right now.
Tony, what do you think Stephanie ought to do?
If you're with a guy and he's dragging... Well, this is tricky because, boy, I got to be careful what I say here. I think
for
it
the
is,
first time.
No, you don't want to push too much because then you could wind up pushing away.
Right.
You can push that person away. So, you have to be careful. I mean, do you hint or what do you do? I don't know. What do you do?
Well, you know, seriously, I think you both need to talk because communication is key. Early on, figure out if this person even wants to get married, if that's in their future, and then find a way to bring up, okay, if you do want to get married, do you think you and I are going to do this? Mm-hmm. Without pressure. I mean, you have to figure out a way to bring that up in a non-confrontational way, but just to make sure you're on the same page, which it's okay if he doesn't want to get married. Maybe you two can just be friends with benefits or just be friends, or maybe it's time to move on. But you don't want to waste a whole lot of time just trying to guess, are we going to do this? Are we not? It's good to just figure out, are we on the same page or not?
All right, let me put this right into practice then.
Okay.
Gary.
Yes, Tony.
What do you want to do a couple of years from now? I mean, the podcast is 6-7 months old.
And, yeah.
What are your intentions?
What do you mean?
Interests?
With you?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you're a billionaire.
I'm not a billionaire. Stop spreading that.
So what I would like to do is see how much of your money I can get. and I see myself as the host of the Gary Stein Show featuring Tony Perkins sometimes.
Yes, yeah.
I'm just being... Listen, can I just ask you something? Do you think that a relationship is in trouble if one of the partners is continuously bringing home an animal? And sometimes the animal climbs into bed.
You are not taking this seriously.
Unfortunately, I am.
His wife told him, honey, bring this one up.
Well, you know what? We can turn that into a real question.
Okay, go ahead.
Because as people, let's say you're a married couple and time goes by, you have kids, you have pets. Sometimes they let the kids and or the pets into the bed.
Mm.
Is that a smart practice? I would think no.
You know, that's very serious because you might get one who's a drop-dead animal lover before they ever got together. You know, little Fifi slept in the bed with her or him all the time.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it means nothing, right?
Maybe it means absolutely nothing. You love your pet. This is a family member.
How'd you know about little Fifi? I never told you about that.
People are talking.
You know, it leads into a question that we really did get from a guy that I know who is fairly disturbed, named Bob. And Bob wrote, our dog likes to sleep in our bed.
Okay.
Normally, this is fine, except when my wife and I have sex. Then he wants to seemingly join in.
Oh, God.
Do you think it would be weird if we dressed him up in something kinky?
Totally and completely weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Bob, you need help, my dear.
Yeah. Well, I've told Bob for years he needs help, but I'm glad that you are really justifying it for him.
Yes, I will.
Because now he might get the help he needs for his sexual issues and his bad knee.
Oh, I see. There's a bad knee.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Bob, if she's going along with it, maybe, I don't know. I think you both might need a little help.
Well, see, this is, again, with our listeners. He started with something serious, went silly. But the serious issue, because there are people who do this. Does your dog sleep with you?
No, but you know, right now, I've never had a cat in my life, but we are now taking care of my mother-in-law's cat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm allergic to cats, but the cat is so amazing, and he's 14. What are you going to do? So he actually sleeps in our bed and likes to practically sleep under me.
Yeah.
And I've never liked a cat in my life. I love this cat.
Yeah.
Roby is amazing. You know, every once in a while I dress him up in lingerie, but no, but seriously, he is in the bed.
Yeah.
I would prefer that he wasn't, but I don't know what to do because he's adorable.
Well,
and
so here's a real question.
He's 14. Roby's not changing.
He's not changing.
I have a cat. My cat sleeps in my bed. I'm single. It's not a problem. I love that Jasper sleeps in the bed. However, if I'm married and I've got children, we're sharing the bed, that would be an issue. I'd have to lock Jasper out.
Let's not go there. That's the future. Let's go right here. When you're saying, hey, hey, baby, you know, and you know, you're too beautiful and you have too gorgeous
a
voice.
You're about to go
for that to not be happening.
Deep and personal.
What,
I'll tell you.
What happens to the cat?
Jasper,
does the cat run because...
Oh, Jasper's not trying to run. Jasper likes to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those times, Jasper has to be outside of the bedroom.
So
he's not in there.
So listen to this. This is we're talking truth here.
Yeah.
I met my wife 21 years ago next week.
Wow.
I married her 21 years ago next week.
Beautiful.
And when we first started dating, She had two cats that I was deathly allergic to, but it didn't stop me from staying over. Mm-hmm. I would just sneeze all night.
Priorities.
You know what? You're younger, and it's like, hey, nothing's stopping me. I'm an opportunity.
I'm a cliche Jewish guy with bad allergies. but nothing. But do you know what was amazing? That I won't say what my wife and I were doing, but you can kind of imagine. Do you know that the cats would chase each other all over the apartment until things quieted down to like the make-believe cigarette portion? They would chase each other the entire 3 minutes.
Oh, I love this.
But it is, the 3 minutes is not true, but the cat story is totally true.
I don't know what it is about that, but they love it, and they react.
They pick up on it, right?
Well,
they know what's going on.
Because it's natural. Yeah. They know what's going on. So, is Jasper, outside the room going, all right, when can I come back in? Or is Jasper watching TV?
Jasper's outside of the room wanting to get in there.
Gotcha.
I don't know what he wants to do once he's in the room, but I just don't want to find out.
Gotcha.
Jasper's in another room downing saltpeter to try to calm himself down. You're going, all right, if I can't do it, at least let me stop feeling it.
You come in this cat pornography on the TV. Hey, what's going on in here?
Let me call little Fifi and see what they're up to.
Jasper walks back in the room with a little leather cap and a whip. Very small whip.
Now can I stay?
You got yours. I got mine, too.
Meow, baby.
All right.
Do you have any more questions?
I have another serious question. This is from Fred, who tweeted to us. I think this is a tweet. We initially posted all this on Valentine's Day, right around Valentine's Day. How should I handle a spouse who leaves to go to work on Valentine's Day and ignores the importance of the day?
Oh, wow. Mm. And this is, who wrote this?
Someone named Fred. So
it's
this
a guy.
Is, yeah.
I like the fact that Fred is romantic.
Yeah.
It's usually, I thought that would be from a woman.
Right.
I love that. Well, you know, Fred, again, it always comes down to communication. Maybe your wife doesn't realize that, okay, Fred likes Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And I also have to wonder how you two are doing, because if she's going to go off to work mm-hmm. and not really acknowledge what's supposed to be the most romantic day of the year, there might be another conversation that you need to have.
I think she doesn't want to put the time, energy, or money into it when Fred is generally flaccid.
Oh, Gary! You're insulting everybody!
I'm not insulting. I'm trying to help.
With a straight face, he says this. Fred, you guys need to talk.
I think at this.
I think you two need to communicate, and I don't know.
Maybe the wife is going to Gail, the first one who wrote in.
Right. She's in Gail's house.
I think it is nice, as you say, that he's the romantic one, and wants to make it better.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
Very nice.
Wow. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to know if you're done with that. I was going to read one more that I wanted to.
Can I just say one thing?
Please, of course you can. Please feel free. Make believe this is your show.
You've said this. You've used this word a couple of times, and I know the answer that's coming, because so much of this is really about communication. And Gary, let me ask you: do you have difficulty communicating with your wife about intimate issues? And that, I'll use myself as an example.
No. I'd be happy to talk about this, because I have a question for you that doesn't relate to me.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you a question.
Wink, wink.
My wife and I have no problem communicating about anything.
That's good.
But I can tell when my wife is upset about something and she's not revealed. She goes, I'm fine. And I say to her, you are not fine. I've known you 23 years. And you're telling me you're not fine, and I don't buy it. And then I'll get to something that's actually bothering her.
Because I'm fine means, I am so not fine.
Well, yeah. I hear it. And she's always amazed that I, look, you know what? We've been together a really long time. I'm going to pick up on every nuance and subtlety or whatever. We have heard from people that we don't know all that well recently, that they've been married a really long time, and they think that they have a really good marriage. And very often when, they've got kids and things are exhausting and they're just happy to kind of get to bed, they have admitted to us that very often when one will look at the other is kind of hoping that they just want to go to bed. Mm-hmm. Now, the question has come up, is their marriage in trouble, that there's no more territory
intimacy
that is I'll finish this.
I'm
there is no more.
You two are so married.
Doesn't he have a lot of hostility?
Yes.
I do not. There's no more uncharted territory. There's no more surprise. There's no more place we're going to go. And they're simply saying, does that mean that we're done because sexually we're not that excited anymore, but I love you, but are we just made to be friends or are we supposed to still be married because monogamy doesn't make sense?
That comes up so much.
Good
you know
question.
What? There's so many different things that you can do to spice things up. Maybe things that you hadn't considered before, you might have said, oh my God, ew, I'm never going to try that. I'm never going to do that. There are things. Maybe they're at the point they should consider looking at a little erotica together do some role playing, something that's completely, it might even sound funny.
Just I recommended porn.
Thought of it. Seriously. I mean, they should consider just doing some things to spice things up. It doesn't have to be porn. It could be anything. Even if it's anything. Just find out what is naughty that we haven't done before. And let's just
I think some people think that there's a problem if it takes effort and work. Because obviously, when all of us got together with our significant other, we couldn't wait, right? And
right.
there was a long period of time where you never saw each other without that certain thing happening.
That's right.
And now that it takes effort and creativity, I think people feel like, oh, I don't know. I don't feel like bothering. I'd rather just like watch the news and go to bed.
You're right. However, once you do that, you mentioned creativity. That's the thing. Yeah, you might feel like, okay, we've been together 20 years. I know every trick in his book or her book. But, you know, maybe do a little research on your own. And it does take an effort. That's one of the things. It takes work to make a relationship stay together. Just do it and try it, and you might be really surprised at what
some
can
of
happen.
Some of us might need more guidance than others. I will be honest and open up here. My wife and I, we tried some role play. But we were doing Laurel and Hardy,
okay.
And it didn't turn us on at all. I was
I'm
Stan
the one
Laurel.
I recommended that you go with.
I love this show. You guys are so silly.
I recommended you go with Abbott and Costello, and you said no. Laurel and Hardy will work better for us.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I mean, the research, because I was in a situation where I was dating this guy. Everything was kind of going great. Sex was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay.
Mm.
I think he thought it was wonderful.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, he says, do you mind if I spank you?
Oh.
And he wanted to tie me up.
Oh.
What? First of all, we hadn't been together
that long.
It wasn't stale in any way.
Right.
And his bag of tricks, I guess, were a lot bigger and more exciting
than you expected.
Than anything I had ever thought about trying.
Right.
However, I mean, I think that stuff can be fun and it can be exciting. There's probably a way to approach it.
Yes.
And there's so many different things
and
you
should
can do.
Should you work up to that?
Oh, I don't think you spring it on somebody,
do you?
No.
You don't spring it on somebody. And, you know, I did mention the spanking. That is something, we did a show about that. And that is something, people who are into it, they love it. And you learn how to do it. You start off spanking, maybe with your hand. You can get these paddles. There's special paddles to.
Are they padded?
Spank. I don't know. I think
they have Greek letters on them.
They have Greek letters on them.
But there are things that people do.
Can you use a rake?
And you I don't think you want a rake.
No.
But there are so many different things that you can research, and you might surprise yourself or your partner.
Can I tell you something? Very, very, very early on, in a very early experience for me, I really didn't have any experience. I was with somebody who was obviously very experienced, and she said to me, you know, we started to kind of get into it, and she said, you know, you can hit me a little bit. And I said, what? You know, I wasn't even sure I was comfortable being in the room because it's like, I'm new at this.
Right.
So she said, you could hit me a little bit. And I said, like where? You know, and I was sort of ready for action, thinking that I'm not going to be saluting much longer, you know. And so she said, you know, just, oh, hit me wherever you want. And I thought I could get past that and do that. And then we may have to cut this. I don't really know. But she also said, you can put it anywhere.
Oh, boy.
I was done.
Yeah.
I was done. I said, you know what? I was thinking just sort of straight, let's just do this and, right. and go out for a frozen yogurt. And I was done.
Yeah.
I was done.
Wow.
I ran home.
Wow. Yeah. No, but you know what?
Hope you put some pants on.
I don't remember.
But it's funny, you know, Tony brought up a very important point.
Time.
You got to spring this on the person at the right time.
Yeah.
The right timing, because maybe you work up to this kind of thing, and maybe that would have been a turn on.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't just out of the blue, just like, you know, as I was saying, the guy is like, hey, can I tie you up and spank you? Wait, what? No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just totally out of the blue, and it's a shock.
It is a shock. And I think when I started crying, that's when she was out of
she
it.
Was, she
when
she was.
And she was done. Yeah.
I'm not judging anybody. Really, I'm not. Whatever you do in your own home, more power to you, as long as you're with a willing, you know, consensual adult, all that kind of stuff. Great. I've never fully understood the pain part of it.
No,
I don't really need that. I mean, you know, and I don't inflicting it, I don't think would do anything for me.
Then you should tell Rhonda to stop spanking you. Because maybe she doesn't know that you're not liking it.
It's just lying there silently.
Yeah, go on.
Crying.
Okay, ouch.
Why?
Ouch.
Why?
Ouch.
It's better
silence.
Get run. Hang up the paddle.
No.
Head
exactly.
in the pillow. Why? Why is this happening?
I don't know why she's doing this. You know, it's funny.
I don't get it. I don't really understand why somebody wants to be hit.
Here's the thing, you know, with the movie 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
The whole thing, it's about S&M and bondage and all these things that people do. It's a lot of kink that people
mm-hmm.
do to get revved up and get exciting. A lot of it is the power and the, you know, person wanting to be submissive. There are lots of things that you might like that you just haven't been exposed to.
I think I must be very boring. Really? Because I don't want to do any of that.
Well, you know what?
But I mean, if you're happy and your spouse is happy.
Exactly. Then you're fine.
Let's get her on the phone.
She's standing outside.
Right, that's right.
You know, it's funny. I mean, I understand Gary because there's a lot that I haven't tried, but there's a lot I'm learning about with this radio show.
Uh-huh.
So many
mm-hmm.
things. I had the funniest phone call.
Oh, good. I want to know this.
Oh, my goodness. And this was recent, and it was in reaction to 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
And apparently there's a lot, you know, I think there's a lot going on in the movie that it was eye-opening for me.
Right.
This woman called up and said, 50 Shades of Grey, people are making such a big deal out of this movie. This S&M and bondage is so movie. It's so GM. It's so lightweight. You know, I would like to try something. Oh, wait. First she said, why do you think people get tattoos? It's not because of the way it looks. It's the pain. You don't know pleasure until you know pain. And then she said, I don't mind getting the kind of whips with the hooks on them. That's what I like.
Oh, man.
No.
What?
No.
You know, if she was really into tattoos and pain, it's too bad she didn't go through the Holocaust. I mean,
did
she would have been in. She would have been in her glory.
Oh,
are you kidding?
Doesn't it seem like a little? That's a little crazy.
Yeah, that is a little crazy. That, with the hooks
that's,
and stuff. I mean, that's ripping up flesh. But
ouch.
I have heard of that. I have heard of that.
It's Green Acres with the pitchfork.
No.
That was on Petticoat Junction.
Yeah.
Simple mistake. Yeah.
What, I don't get
that. Oh, I don't get that at all.
You've had celebrities on. Do they open up? And who's been the the most outgoing celebrity to talk about their sex lives?
You know, they all do.
Aside from Tony.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
He's coming back.
No.
We've just begun. Well, you know, I've had, Phil Perry. Well, that's a good question. Who's opened up the most? I don't know if you know Jeff Bradshaw. Pretty sexy trombonist.
Yeah.
He's pretty awesome. And he opened up really nicely, I thought.
Huh.
He's happily married and said, you know, I think when it comes down to eroticism and whatever you want to do, if you're in a loving relationship, the whole idea should be to please your mate.
Sure.
All bets are off.
Right.
And, you know, he just went on to say that they do anything.
I've thought this. Maybe I'm naive. Wouldn't you have a satisfying, happy relationship, even sexually, if both partners want it to please the other partner?
I think
it seems to me that would,
whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Even if it involves a goat.
Huh?
I think, you know? What if you both want the goat? Then then you're both, you know.
Yeah, then you...
I don't know where all the animal references are coming from.
I don't know. We're going to get Dr. What was the doctor?
Dr. Brunswick?
Dr. Brunswick is going to be on again to talk to you.
I would suspect.
Gary and I are married. Both have been married a long time. Our young man here, Rob Ford, is 24 years old. He's dating now, as a matter of... Oh, he's dating. Yeah. Rob, do you have any questions from the young person's perspective?
I think one thing I'd like to know is, one problem that I've always had in my dating life is closing. That's always been my problem. I'm terrified of that rejection and how bad it can go, especially in the year of 2015 and the year of the lawsuit.
Wow.
I am terrified.
Wait, the year of the lawsuit? What's going on in your approach that could lead to a lawsuit?
Exactly.
I don't think it's anything that I do. I think it's just a mental sticking point.
What? So, give us an idea of how your typical dating style.
Let me ask one direct question.
Yes.
Are the police typically involved?
No, not usually.
All right. Okay.
Yes.
How did we get to the year of Living Dangerously?
What have you been doing? It's a very old movie.
Give Angela an example.
So I'll ask. I have no problem making the initial approach, and I enjoy making them laugh, doing that kinds of thing. But as far as making that initial first contact, I'm a little standoffish because I'm scared of them saying no and having that awkward moment. I really am. And it's a big mental sticking point of mine.
That's good.
You know what? That's a very, very good thing. And you know what? What women love the most is confidence.
It is. And I've heard that a lot. And, you know.
Fake it till you make it. Even
exactly.
If you're so afraid the next time, I don't know where you go to meet people. Hmm. But just before you go this time, I mean, have a wingman with you.
Arby's.
Whatever you need. Okay. When the
Arby's?
He goes, the next time you're in Arby's.
He goes to Good Guys across the street. There's a gentleman's club over there.
You know, but seriously, my suggestion, just, you know, involve a little acting. Just don't be yourself that night.
Mm.
I mean, don't overdo it, but, you know, really work yourself up. Be confident and go in and just see yourself with that person. Pick whoever it is that you want to go out with. You know, no one's off limits unless they're married. And pick that person and then just be yourself. You don't have to be anybody else, but be confident you.
Excellent.
And see what happens.
Are you comfortable for a moment, let's say you've been dating Angela for a while. And so let's say
Stay
this is
away.
The night. This is, why is she yours?
Gary's my boo.
I'll thumb wrestle you for it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's say this is your fifth or sixth date,
okay.
And it's been going well, and you kind of you're having dinner, and you want to make the push for we should take this to another level.
Lift off.
Let's see how it goes.
Okay.
Angela's your date.
So we're at the dinner table.
I'll be the guy in the back.
Thank you.
Oh God. Oh my God.
He couldn't wait to pull that thing out.
I'll be his therapist.
So Angela, we have been we've been seeing each other for a long time. And I've really enjoyed your company.
Yeah, it's great.
I think maybe we should take this to the next level.
Well, why are you talking like that?
Yeah.
There's the problem right there.
What is that? Is that level four? Wait, you know what? I'm getting off the elevator at level three.
It's a little too business-like.
Yeah. And are you reading?
You're not in law school.
Baby, it's our sixth date. We're relaxed. We've got music in the background. We've got eye contact going. You're feeling good. Right? So the food's good. How you doing?
I'm doing really well.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking. Absolutely.
So what are we going to do after this? This food's great, right?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking maybe we could maybe I'll just take you home.
You know, I think he's exemplifying his problem very, very well. You know?
Oh, poor Rob.
You're going to be going home with Mary Hand.
Mary Hand.
Oh, my
I'm sorry.
God.
I call it Joe myself.
Rob, I'm very sorry.
Okay.
You know what? You might need some private sessions.
Wait. Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Would you do me a favor just for this ridiculous show and for this exercise? Let's try this again.
Okay.
But this time, you're the woman.
Okay.
And Angela is going to be Angela. Angela is now going to be you.
Okay.
All right. So Angela, if you feel the need to start, however it works here, you are the confident man. You don't may not need the harmonica. I don't know.
No, I like it. I like it. Okay. I like it.
There are
no,
there are music in the background.
Yeah, or that.
So, baby, you're baby now.
Oh, wow.
So, do you like the restaurant? Are you having a good time?
I really am.
What happened to your voice?
Oh, I thought I was the woman.
Oh, you're the woman? No. Going so badly.
Just use your regular voice.
Okay.
You're a manly. You're
she
a
not
manly
only doesn't
woman.
Have testicles, she doesn't have a vagina.
You're an odd looking woman, but okay. I'm still the woman, but I'll be the aggressor.
Ah, okay.
Oh, that's good. Good. That's good.
You fixed it. Go ahead.
Okay. So,
Rob.
Thank you.
I can tell there was a pause.
Boy,
there.
Did he make an impression.
Closed up so fast.
Okay, here we go. Okay, I'm really ready this
Rob
time.
Is closed for business.
This is a disaster.
Okay, so Rob, you know I'm a cougar. So okay. This is not my first time with a younger guy, but you're different. I love being with you. Are you having a good time?
I am having a good time, and I really feel this vibe. I feel like age, it's not an issue with us.
I know, right? We have so much fun. We've got so much in common. And you like this restaurant?
I love this restaurant. What do we have in common?
Well, what do we have in common? You weren't paying attention these last few dates, but that's okay. I mean, we both love good music. We laugh at each other's jokes. Or were you really laughing, or were you just kind of making me feel good?
I don't really remember any off the top of my head.
You don't? Okay. Well, that's all right. That's cool.
Rob, have you been thinking about the priesthood?
I'm trying. Okay, but you know what? I appreciate your honesty.
Yes.
So, what do you feel like doing after this?
Well, I'd like to be a monk.
You know what? I don't want the night to end. I think we should still spend some time together.
Good. Let's do that. In fact, let's just stay together.
And you know what? I think we can definitely make this work.
Aww.
Liftoff.
That was better. That was better. That was better.
But you know what? Seriously, I think it all comes down to confidence.
Yes.
Whatever it is, just know that she loves your company. Yes. Tell yourself that. When you're on the date, she loves being here. She's having a good time. She loves my company.
That's fantastic advice. I'll definitely take that to heart.
Maybe you're using your broadcasting voice now, but I would be more natural. You know, just unless maybe that's how you are naturally.
I'm a little worried about
Rob. I was going to suggest that you be a little less analytical to hide. I think you save yourself a little bit by hiding behind a little intellect instead of your emotion. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm actually just really being Gary Stein right
Listen
now.
Listen to you now.
And I also think I would never disagree with my future wife. But I'm not disagreeing. I'm actually offering another point that has pretty much worked for me my whole life. Now, good. I don't know if you like this.
You've got 20 plus years of marriage, that's good.
Yeah. Of this time. Yes, I do.
I see.
Yeah. There was another one.
There was another
one. Okay.
There was a short-lived
starter marriage.
Yeah, there was the marriage where you learn a lot, and she's a wonderful person, still is. I used to deal with this confidence issue.
Mm-hmm.
By being completely honest, I remember getting when I got divorced and I wound up very quickly meeting my current wife. I've been married to 21 years. I felt more like the woman in this relationship in cliches because I was really nervous about being with somebody new for the first time in 8 years.
I could imagine.
And I said to her, I'm really nervous about being with somebody new for the first time in 8 years, and I don't know how I'm going to be. And this scares me. And she said, I love that. Why don't we just take it slow?
Aww.
So we maneuvered. I don't know what happened that night. I don't really remember if that was the night. But I just kept talking about my feelings. And also, I really am revealing something here. I stayed in the place that I lived at with my first wife. I was not comfortable doing anything in that apartment yet. She got scared because she thought, wow, he's not over it. And I said, no, I really am over it. I don't want to be with her in that way, but I also don't feel like I can be in this room.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
real.
Be in this room. And she still had some of her belongings there. They'd been there for months. So my thing was, whatever I'm feeling, I'm going to say. It worked for me, you know, because I don't know how to do it any other way. I don't think I could have walked around with the fake confidence if I wasn't feeling confident, you know?
And plus, you were getting over something.
Yeah.
It's good to be honest all the time. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of younger people, you have to grow into that. You have to grow into being confident and being able to say, this is where we are. But you lose a lot when you just don't approach the relationship.
I get it. I think
so
you're right.
So my confidence idea is just saying, look, she digs you. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know whatever could be in your mind that's holding you back. And that happens in relationships, happens in jobs that you know you're qualified for, but then you kind of undo yourself by saying, ah, I'll never get it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you've got to fake it a little bit before, you know, to make it, to say, boost yourself up and say, you know what? I am good enough. I'm just as good as that next guy.
Right. And if she's with you or the person is with you, then they see something in you, you know. And
you're on that date. Yeah. So they're talking to you. They're engaging.
The honesty thing, I think, is great. I really do. You know, and don't women, in fact, I won't just say women, but don't we all like a little sense of vulnerability from the other person?
That.
Yeah.
You know, Tony, that's another big thing. If you're not vulnerable, you don't let that person in.
Right. That's right.
Right?
Are you listening, Rob?
I'm listening.
And that speaks to what Tony was saying earlier and what you were saying. Don't be so analytical.
Right.
Because that's a wall.
Because this is not an analytical experience.
Not at all.
You're trying to, you're experiencing from the heart, not from the head.
Exactly. You know? So, you know, you might be a little afraid to kind of let them see the real you, but
they'll
if you don't do that, yes, they'll love that. Yeah. People want to see you vulnerable. They want to see you confident in who you are.
Yes.
So a lot of good advice.
Sounds great.
Let me give one final piece of advice.
Oh, thank you.
For you, Rob, and people who are listening. If you have issues with confidence and that kind of thing, just make a lot of money.
Yes.
And that will solve a lot of that.
Says the billionaire.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
You know, really. If you don't have confidence, give a lot of presents.
Right.
Yep. Yeah,
presents. It makes up for embarrassing moments.
If you don't have confidence and you're awkward and everything, be a rock star. Because then you can sleep with anybody.
That's right.
Look, there are some of the ugliest rock stars in the world. They still get groupies.
Well, because they're celebrities.
They're
and people.
Stars, yeah.
People fall for that. They want some celebrity in their lives, you know?
We have kept you for a long time. We're going to wrap up with the...
This
has been great. This has really been great.
I love it, too. I love having you here.
Thank you.
And I have a suggestion.
No, settle down.
Wait.
I don't see you like this usually.
I just took some saltpeter. I'm fine.
And he's wearing a jacket and everything?
Yeah, but you don't see what's under it. I'm good. No, I'm fine.
Speedo.
It's a short jacket, yes.
When you're done with whatever nonsense you're going to say, I have something to say.
Okay. Here's the final question. I'm just going to read it because I thought it was hysterical and very clever. This is from Groovy Clocks. I don't know what that means. Here's what Groovy Clocks wrote. This is when we were soliciting questions for you. I need to know the best methods of penis reduction surgery. Cost isn't an issue as I am a multimillionaire.
How much is he saying in that one sentence?
Oh, my.
We get what you're doing there.
You're not that clever.
Yeah. Well, you know what's so funny, though? There is such a thing as too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
Really?
Boy, am I glad to hear that.
There is. I mean, you know.
I'm sad I've never heard it.
Funny. You know, I'm sure
doesn't
he
that go back to a color joke?
Oh, no. He's back there again. You know, I'm sure he's joking.
Oh, he is joking.
And I'm sure, you know, some guys will line up to do a switch ectomy if he'd like to do that. But there is such a thing. I mean, you know, it all depends on what you're working with and how you work with what you're working with.
Well, don't you think that between men and women, it's the men who have more emphasis on size than the women?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we did a show on that. Does size matter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny. A lot of the women were vocal and saying, oh, no, you know, it doesn't matter. But they were inboxing me saying, okay, it really does.
Wow.
Which is really funny. It matters if they're extremely too small.
Right.
Yeah,
That's what it matters.
Yeah.
And it matters if they're like...
Way too big.
Way too big. Yeah. And I gotta say, since we're giving our personal information,
yes,
there was one guy I was dating, you know, we were dating for a while, and I'm, you know, one of those, you know, I like to take my time mm-hmm. before we're actually going to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, here's the big weekend, and I go to his house, and, you know, I mean, we were getting along great, mm-hmm. great guy, great looking guy, and, you know, everybody loved us together. So, big moment. So he, you know, he takes a shower first. He's in bed. I take a shower. I come into the room, and he's lying there with no clothes on. I ran back into the bathroom.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, oh my God.
Did you really?
No way. Because there is no.
Why did he
too,
like?
Too big?
He was a horse.
Oh my goodness!
Wow!
Wow!
When I finally came out of the bathroom,
whoa!
I was so. I mean, I'm out of town. I'm like, okay,
oh
what am I going to do? It was really...
I thought you were going the other way. You were going to say that he reminds you of a number two pencil.
Was he a Derek Jeter?
Was he what?
Was he a Derek Jeter?
Derek Jeter.
I don't know. Was it Derek Jeter?
Or was he more of like a Robert Griffin III or maybe a Joe DiMaggio?
Now, wait, I don't know these references.
Do we know how they're hung?
I'm going to Google. Find out this information.
Gary, you're a Yankees fan.
No, yes,
not
but,
that
but
much.
I didn't get to know them that well.
There's certain information that's not on the baseball cards.
I don't know what bat any of them used.
What number did Joe DiMaggio wear?
Oh, gotcha.
Five.
Gotcha.
Four.
What was his number?
Nine.
Nine, okay.
Joe DiMaggio?
Yeah.
And what was
nine.
Jeter's
it
number?
It wasn't nine?
No, number nine was Roger Maris, and number nine for Boston was Ted Williams.
Okay.
You're very wrong.
Robert
but I see what he's getting at. Robert Griffin III is a 10.
As a former Redskins fan,
you
know that. Yeah.
Right, right. And what was the other one you gave? Derek Jeter, what's his number?
Two.
Two.
Two. Wow.
Yeah.
So this was more of a Robert Griffin. And we're not talking about the person. We're talking about the number, using that as a euphemism.
Bobby yes. Richardson, who was the second baseman for the Yankees in the early 60s, was number one, and he became a reverend.
Well, and think of this. Michael Jordan was number 23 and one of the most popular athletes of all time. So...
Wilt Chamberlain was 178.
You guys can go on all day. I can tell.
All
this
right.
guy was more one of the farm animals you've been talking about all day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
Man,
I don't know how he
Boy,
ever
that
gets
makes me want to learn how to play the harmonica.
Angela, this has been fantastic.
This
has really been
great.
Fantastic.
So
thank
much
you.
Fun.
Oh, now I want to ask you something because. Oh. No, we're done.
Yeah,
we're
okay.
done.
Okay.
We started talking about a couple of weeks ago. We had my old writing partner from LA on the show, Sam Agrafia, and we occasionally have Rob Spiewak on the show. Some people, Tony and I have been talking about this kind of rep company of people that participate on mm-hmm. a regular basis. I would love to know. If you would come on any time we want to talk sex, relationships, love, whatever, would you be part of the Mighty Perkins Art Players?
Oh.
I love it. I would love to say right here, right now, I'm in.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That's fantastic.
Bravo.
Can and we I... hear a little more of Julie
oh,
Andrews?
No.
For a second.
No.
With the sound of music.
I didn't even have to ask for it. He had it up.
Yes.
He knows you.
My final word, all I have to say is, we want to thank Angela Stribling. She is the host of Pillow Talk with Angela Stribling in Washington, D.C. You can hear it on WHUR 96.3, Friday nights from midnight until 2 a.m. You can also hear it on Sirius XM every week. What are the day
it's
parts?
Channel 141, Monday, go. Wednesday, and Friday at midnight.
Channel 141, there
did,
you go.
Did we not get to five other topics?
We have a whole other show that we didn't get to that we'll do next time.
You believe that? That's how much
That's
fun
crazy.
This was.
I love it.
We thank Rob. Thank you. And,
absolutely.
We're going to get you some work,
well,
some
you.
Help. I mean,
some work.
And, some work.
Freudian slip. Freudian slip.
Oh, my God.
I know where you just went to.
What are you trying to say?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for taking part with your questions. We will see you next time.
I took her on journey.
The Tony Perkins Show. A Moore Broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.